Good morning, everyone. Well, we live in an age of unbelievable speed. A number of decades ago, we got microwave ovens. Boy, if you're a single guy, that's a wonderful tool, you know? You can just have a meal in just a few minutes if you're out of a package. We have email that, you know, used to, you had to mail a letter and wait for it to get there. Even back to the time of Christ, there were mail delivery systems, but it took time, a lot of time. But now we can communicate with anybody in the world in a matter of seconds. We can just text them if we need to. Transportation is phenomenal. To be able to get on a plane like Mr. Lopez, be all the way to Malaysia in one day. Can you imagine 100 years ago how long that would take to make that journey? To go on a ship, travel 2-3 weeks maybe? I don't know how long it'd take on a ship. So our expectations are we want things quick. Rapid response. And we are all conditioned to that. I sent somebody a text. It's been 10 minutes. Why haven't they answered me? What are they doing? I have a friend that sometimes he'll leave me a voicemail. And he surmises in his voicemail why I'm not picking up the phone. He'll say, well, you must be doing this or that. So it's not easy for us to wait upon God or to wait upon our fellow man. But when we are slow, we want patience, we want tolerance. When we may have offended somebody, well, why are they getting upset about that? But then we're very, very slow to be tolerant with others when they may offend us or bother us in some way. Well, one of God's characteristics is patience. He is a God of patience. We are given His Holy Spirit, and one of the fruits of that Spirit is to be patience. So how much have you or I grown in patience since last year's Passover? You know, we're in a time of examination. And those fruits of the Spirit are always good to study. So today I'm just going to focus on some aspects of patience. And that's my title, Aspects of Patience. In the scriptures I'm going to, the primary Greek words that are used in these is, in Strong's reference, is G3114. It's a verb, macrothumio, with the macro meaning long, and the thumio, long-tempered. And it means to be forbearing, patient, to bear up under suffering. And then G3115 is the noun form, which is macrothymia. Now, the other word is usually translated patience is euponi, which is G5281. It means cheerful, patient endurance under trial. And this was the focus of the sermon last week. So these somewhat links in with what we heard, the excellent sermon we had on endurance last week. Sometimes Paul would use both terms in one sentence. So their meanings are intermingled. Just one example, and we'll be looking at this in more detail a little bit later. It's in Colossians 1:11. A lot of people are leaving. No, I think it's for, I hope it's because of, health issues. So, Anyway, here in Colossians, Paul wrote, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. So here he used 5281 and 3115, those Greek words there in one sentence. Well, today I want to look at four aspects of patience. First one will be on God's patience. The second will be on patience with people. The third is patience in persevering through adversity. And then patience to wait upon God. First, as I mentioned, God is a patient God. Let's turn to 2 Peter 3:15. 2 Peter 3:15. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord, this is reference to Jesus Christ, and is salvation, the long-suffering. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. So here we have Peter referring back to Paul's writings. He was treating these as scripture here already at this point. And so I want to look at some of those references that Paul made to the patience of God in Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Romans 2, verse 4. Romans 2, verse 4. It says, do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? You know, eventually, go on down to verse 5, it says, but in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. So God will render judgment. But in the meantime, he is very patient. He's waiting for people to come to repentance. But that patience is not approval. It's not approval of sin. And sometimes it's easy for mankind to think, well, I haven't suffered any penalty. I've been doing this or that. They tell me it's against God's word. But I haven't had any punishment. I haven't had anything bad happen to me. But God will eventually judge every one of us. Romans 9, on over to Romans 9, verse 22, reads, what if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering? Again, there's that long suffering. The vessels of wrath prepared for destruction. You know, he wants to spare. That endured can mean to be spared, to bear with us. So he holds back punishment for sin while he waits for repentance. You know, he has mercy. Mercy and patience are related. The New Living Translation, there at the first of the verse where it says, wanting to show, as right to show, he has the right to show his wrath. You know, he gives all life. It is his right. In 1 Timothy, Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:15-16. Says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You know, Paul still struggled. However, for this reason, I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. So again, he showed that pattern. Christ's example of patience with Paul and with us. Back over to 1 Peter 3, where we were during the sermonette. 1 Peter 3, verse 20. 1 Peter 3, verse 20. It says, when once the divine long-suffering, the long-suffering of God, God's patient waiting, waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. This was many, many years that the ark was under construction. It was 120 years, is what I read. We read in Genesis 6:13, it doesn't talk about Noah being a preacher, but when we get over to the New Testament, we see that he has these descriptions. Now, we won't turn to all of these, but Genesis 6:13 spoke of the evil that was in the world at that time. God didn't want to destroy all those people. But he sent Noah out there and his sons to build this great big ark. That condemned that world. But I'm sure they wanted to know, what are you doing? He went to the play in Branson. On Noah, you know, they embellish it, but they had that of the people, you know, all outside criticizing, hurling accusations and all of these things at Noah while he was building that ark. And then 2 Peter 2:5, Noah is referred to as a preacher of righteousness, a preacher of righteousness. So to summarize point one, we've looked at how God is patient. He gives all of mankind that opportunity to be called, to come to repentance. And all will have, as Mr. Bradshaw mentioned, all will have that opportunity at one time. So he's in his plan is built around his characteristic of patience. Second point deals with dealing with other people, patience with people. We're tried probably every day on that. We're tried sometimes in the church, tried in our families. But it's one of those things that we need to grow in that patience. Let's turn to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 1. Says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know, this verse 3 says, this is an essential element of unity in the church is with our being patient with one another. You know, we're all at different stages of life, different stages of spiritual development. And, you know, sometimes people might not fully understand a scripture yet, especially if they're new in the truth. Mr. Bradshaw, even talking to somebody out in the community, and we have to walk back to wherever they are in their levels of understanding. Paul had problems in those early churches. You know, here Paul's come out. He's told them about his experience on the road to Damascus, and he's formed these churches and then went on. Then he starts getting back bad reports. You know, what's going on? And Corinth was one that was really had problems. They lived in a very decadent society, just as we do today. But let's turn to 2 Corinthians 12:20. He writes, "For I fear lest, when I come, I shall not find you such as I wish, and that I shall be found by you such as you do not wish, lest there be contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbitings, whisperings, conceits, and tumults. You know, this outburst of wrath, or New Living Translation says fits of rage. Fits of rage going on in that Corinth church. He hoped he wouldn't find that, but he'd heard words that there was problems there. And again, this outburst of wrath, that's that short temper, that thing that we're supposed to be the opposite of, to not have that hair-trigger temper. And it's takes a lot of prayer and thinking ahead of time to not have those outbursts of wrath, even today. We all have these instant responses to certain things that hit us, you know, hit us wrong, hit a sore point. We'll talk a little bit more about maybe ways to deal with that. We won't turn there, but 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, talks about love suffers long. It's love suffers long, that phrase. It's one of the aspects of godly love. You know, to be short-tempered is really a form of hating another person. It really, really is a form of hate. Some people are overreact to every shortcoming of another person. They can become defensive, interpret remarks as attacks that must be responded to in kind. You know, I've got to where what they call news nowadays. Sometimes it's hard to turn it on and listen to it very long because it's always this debate. People talking over one another. You know, you think back 30 years ago, people could debate, but they could do it respectfully. But to now, it's very adversarial. Everything is so polarized, and we can get dragged into that, and lose our patience and our tolerance for others, to be able to listen to others. Colossians 1 talks about patience and long-suffering with joy. Now, that's hard to put those two together. Philippians, Colossians 1, verses 9 through 11. We looked at one verse out of that a little bit earlier. Colossians 1, 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy. You know, this is a tall order to be able to have that long patience and long suffering and also be with joy. You know, Christ sets that example that He didn't take revenge when He was reviled and insulted. See that back in 1 Peter 2, verse 23. 1 Peter 2, verse 23. Let's actually start up in verse 22. It says, "Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges rightly." So here we have, you know, Christ was not taken. That's the way we tend to be. We tend to not be patient. We tend to want to take revenge when others do us wrong. And that's my next section of this in dealing with people, is to be patient even when provoked. Turn to James 1. We studied this in the Bible study over the last year or so. But this is a key scripture. James 1, verses 19 and 20. It says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." So this is a very good way to try to tone down those emotions, that, to be slow to wrath. Be listening more than we're talking, and slow to wrath. There's three Proverbs. You can just write them down. Proverbs 14:29, Proverbs 15:18, and Proverbs 19:11, that all say, be slow to anger. Be slow to anger. Mr. Dowd covered this Matthew 18 here recently, so I'm just going to talk about that instant in Matthew 18, 21 to 35. Talks about this man who was forgiven this huge debt by the king. And then this man went out of there, found this poor man who only owed him a small amount, and had him thrown in prison. You know, he had no patience to wait on him, even though he had been forgiven this great amount. And he had no patience with him. We need to remember how much God has forgiven us, and then show the same patience and forgiveness toward those around us, especially for minor quirks. There are issues that need to be addressed, like in the Corinth church. Those had to be addressed. But sometimes we've got to be able to put up, to bear with one another. You to bear with me. And vice versa. So how patient are we when someone does something in church that irritates us? Do we jump down their throat? Do we have to instantly correct them? Or do we handle the incident gently? Maybe privately, as it talks about in Matthew 18. The other section in Matthew 18. Or in many cases, just overlook it. Bear with it. Let it pass. Mr. Don Hooser wrote an article on long-suffering back in 2010. And he said, the first step is to exercise restraint and do nothing. You know, that's, again, our natural man wants to jump on it, say something, do something. He says, to think first, what does God want me to say or do? And it goes back to that being ready to have an answer, and also how to deal with our own thought process when these things happen. If our feelings have been hurt by something someone said, we've got to remember Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath. Third step is to pray and plan wisely. The goal is to act lovingly rather than react hatefully. This is what we do when we're short-tempered. Don't feel like you always have to win an argument. Usually when two people are yapping at one another and trying to talk over the other one, it don't come to a good resolution. They usually just have to part ways for a while. You know, or sometimes they're alienated forever over some real serious arguments. We need to learn to be agreeable even when we disagree. We really got to seek God's help to do those things. Do those things. Paul gave some instruction to Timothy about those of us that teach, and everybody's a teacher in one way or another, whether from the pulpit or even in our conversations at church or at home. And this is, turn to 2 Timothy 4:2. 2 Timothy 4:2. He wrote to Tim, he said, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and teaching." So, again, a respectful way, with that long suffering, not with a, you know, if I tell you something, you're just going to immediately do it. Sometimes it takes time to have that patience for people to grow into the understanding. In 2 Timothy 3:10, we won't turn there, Paul prays Timothy for following his example of patience along with other essential attributes for those who are going to be teachers. So summarize point two. We need to be patient with others. We show love through patience. Even when we're provoked, when something irritates us, we need to practice patience, to be prepared, to be patient. The third point deals with patience in persevering through adversity. You know, this is, you know, we have a problem. We want it to be fixed instantly. I know I'm that way. I really, really am. I sometimes wonder, how would I deal with a long-term illness like some of you are dealing with? You know, do I have the patience to deal with that? Would I become impatient with God? Why aren't you healing me? I want to be healed now. I want to be get up and do things. I don't want to be down sick. You know, we haven't been called to go through any trials like Joseph was, like Job. You know, they went through great adversity. And Job especially didn't understand. He didn't understand, why is this happening to me? And I'm sure when Joseph was down in that dungeon, that he asked that question, what am I doing down here? What did I do to deserve this? You know, Paul was mentioned last week. He suffered extreme persecution, something that we've never even come near to, that he remained faithful as he learned to wait upon God for deliverance. Let's turn to Romans 5, verse 3 and 4. Romans 5. Verse 3. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. That word glory, again, when we're in tribulation, we're not really, but that means to exult in sufferings, to rejoice in hardships. And again, that takes patience, But ultimately, it's going to end up, if we remain patient, even in times of hardship, with being in God's kingdom, eternal life. Keep our eyes on that goal. Hebrews 12:1 says to run the race. We won't turn there. To run the race with endurance or with patience. Romans 15, it talks about patience as a source of unity. We talked about that a little bit earlier. Romans 15, verse 1. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Again, this is that bear with the scruples of the weak, those who are still growing spiritually. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification, to building up, it says in my margin. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see here that theme of patience is a source of unity and of hope. Again, ties in to that hope that we have, even when we're in times of great trial and adversity. You know, we must know that God is there to bring us through whatever it is. Let's turn to Romans 8, verse 26. Romans 8, verse 26. This is speaking of God's Holy Spirit. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know, if our weakness is being short-tempered, we do have God's Spirit that will be to help us through any trial, any even minor irritation. We will call upon God. You know, sometimes even we just don't always have the big picture of what's going on in our lives, and we just have to have that trust, that faith. Just as Job learned that you have to trust that God has a reason that we'll end up in good. So to summarize point three, it's, you know, we've got to stay patient, even in adversity, even in times of trouble, that there is something being worked out, some reason. And point four is patience with God Himself. Many times God is, you know, we want that quick answer. But sometimes God is working things out in His own time. He may be wanting to test us. He could be waiting for us to develop character. He could be waiting for us to repent, as I mentioned earlier. You know, we must be willing to patiently wait upon God. Turn to James 5:7-8. James 5:7 says, therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. So here we see that they thought Christ was coming back at that time. Here we are 2,000 years later. We still have to wait patiently. God has got a plan. We've just got to hang in there. Stay patient. Do our part. James 5:10 talks about the prophets of old. He says, my brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. You know, I'm sure that when Isaiah and Jeremiah were going through such terrible, they would have liked to have seen some of their prophecies carried out right there. And in some cases they were, but others sometimes were far off into the future. If you think about Christ had come back at the time James wrote this, we wouldn't have been necessary. We wouldn't have that opportunity. So God's still building that family. You know, if it all would have been, the kingdom would have come at that time. Hebrews 11 talks about the great examples of the heroes of faith. And look at Abraham in particular. Hebrews 11:8 says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundation. There's that word wait. Whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. You remember, that didn't come easy to her. She thought, if you go back to Genesis, she said when she heard that she was going to have a child, she laughed. She couldn't believe that. Couldn't believe that. So Abraham and Sarah both had to wait. Had to wait. We won't turn to these verses, but if you look and you see that Genesis 12, 1 to 4, this promise was made when Abraham was 75 years old. And then in Genesis 21, 4, 25 years later, when Abraham was 100 years old, that Isaac was born. So it was 25 years before that promise was fulfilled. And it's still going on today. Still going on today. God's promises are being fulfilled that he made to Abraham. And we see that in our nation's blessings. Sometimes we are impatient. We may think we can accelerate God's plan. We can do something. Let's turn to John 18:10. It's talking about Peter. We know he was impulsive. He, waiting was not part of his nature. I would say he was probably a little short-tempered in a lot of his examples. John 18:10 says, "Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear." The servant's name was Malchus. You know, Christ told him to put away his sword and allow God's plan to unfold. You know, he had been told about this. Christ had told him over and over that he had to go through this. But he thought, well, I've got to protect him. I don't want to see this Christ taken captive. I can't believe this is going to happen. He just was trying to shut it short, cut it down. But we must wait upon God and Jesus Christ to fulfill their promises. A couple of verses in the Old Testament, Psalms 27:14, and there's numerous of these that talks about waiting upon God. Wait upon God. Psalms 27:14 says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. And I say, on the Lord." Going back up to verse 11 says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." You know, again, back to that going through adversity. It's sometimes we want that quick deliverance, but we've got to wait on the Lord. And to still stay faithful, to stay of good courage. And then Isaiah 40, verse 31, is a great promise to those who will wait. You know, it's symbolic. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." You know, that's again, that strength that we can be given through God's Spirit if we will just have patience to wait upon Him. So our point four was to be patient with God. He has a plan. He is working it out. We just keep the faith. Keep continuing to grow, to study, to pray every day, striving to become more and more like Jesus Christ. So we've seen that there are many elements to patience. We are to develop patience with people in our daily lives, patience with those who may offend us, patience in trials and tribulations, and patience to wait upon God. And patience is one of the fruits of God's Spirit, which means it's one of the fundamental characteristics of God. God has patiently waited upon men and women to repent of their sins. He gave us time to repent. You know, most of us probably had to study for a few months or years, possibly, before we would yield to God's calling. I know of one person who, I think they were asking for baptism within 3 months, which was amazing. They just was exposed to it, and this is the truth. I want this. But most of us are slower. God has to be patient to wait on us. And we have to develop this patience, again, with the help of God's Spirit, because it's one of the fruits of God's Spirit. Man, through his own devices, can learn to be more patient. You know, there are people out there that either naturally or they have trained themselves to be more patient. But we have a helper. We have to have even a greater desire, a spiritual influence in patience, where we even rise above that of some that we may know in the world that seem to be very patient. But godly patience requires far more than we can just develop on our own. We must even be patient with those who attack us, who humiliate us, who treat us rudely. This type of patience only comes through the help of God's Spirit to help us resist the human reaction of taking revenge when we feel we've been wronged. May each of us be able to see where we are in godly patience and repent of impatience as we draw near to the annual Passover.